The Tom Woods Show, episode 1961.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, don't even think about missing the libertarian event of the year, the 2000th episode of The Tom Woods Show, live in Orlando, featuring many of your favorites from The Tom Woods Show. And Michael Malice says his special surprise guest, whose identity I myself don't even know, will bring the house down. Cost nothing to attend. Register at tomwoods2000.com. Hey folks, Tom Woods here. We're talking today about Lithuania, in fact, and what's been going on there, because there have been some pretty draconian measures proposed in Lithuania, but also plenty of resistance. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out. And joining me to talk about this is Emilija Mitūciena, who studied chemistry and engineering in Lithuania. Four generations of her family were subject to Stalinist repression and Siberian gulags. And her parents did not submit to the communists. And she just wrote an article on this subject that I'm going to link to on the show notes page called Lithuania's Crackdown on the Unvaccinated. And I want to talk about what's going on with her. So welcome to the show, Emilija.
Thank you very much for inviting. It's a pleasure to be here.
We obviously have some matters of great importance occurring right now in the present, but I want to start off going back into the past a little bit. First, can you give us a little bit of your background, how it is that you would come to write such an article in the first place?
Well, I do live in the UK for 14 years, and up until now, I never thought I would get involved in social or political programs or any matters at all. I felt as I've no reason or even I've no right to do so. You know, I had a pretty comfortable life here. And yet sharing information with my friends and family members who are still in Lithuania, of course, I came across the facts. Then I've got connected within the group of like-minded people. And then the next is probably part of my character to look for the justice and part of my profession to connect the dots. I'm an engineer.
Well, I guess what I meant more is that you're originally from Lithuania, you have friends in Lithuania, you have background there, you know the people.
I do have very dear, very close friends, and I have my son in Lithuania, and of course my mother's still alive, my sister's family. So yes, we do share the news, and those news were never too important to me until now. I never took British passport. It is still my country, it is my roots. It is my history and the history of generations of my family who never been part of the Soviet framework.
Now, my guess would be that the people of Lithuania were not particularly thrilled about being more or less absorbed into the Soviet Empire. And I presume that at least beneath the surface, there was, during those decades, a spirit of resistance to it. Am I right?
There always has been. The reason why I've cited Shakespeare in the article for Mises Institute about a brother killing brother, has historical context, because a very, very little part of Lithuanians actually participated in the resistance movement, which was short and silenced very quickly by the Bolsheviks. Some people have joined Bolsheviks and Russians and have welcomed USSR, whether they did it, you know, for their beliefs, or whether they did it just to conform and win some, you know, opportunities in their lives, that remains a question. But I have to say that the turncoats have always existed back in the time of Soviet occupation and after Lithuania declared independence officially back in 1990s. And there was always a movement of the resistance. I remember my school years. The historical day of independence, which is 16th of February, would attract police force, USSR police force, probably a week before that day on the streets. And yet on the 16th of February, in every town, in every city of Lithuania, the national flag would appear overnight somehow. So resistance movement has always been there, and it became loud in the late 90s. where we had Sayudis, or you know, group of the dissidents who became apparent and started voicing their wish to become independent again. I don't know how that would be in English, probably a reform movement of Lithuania. So later 80s became the kind of growth of the strength of that movement. And intention of independence has been announced in February 1989. And then in March 1990s, independence declared officially from USSR.
Okay, so having said that, I guess the reason I wanted to start there was to get a sense of what kind of a spirit of independence, what kind of a people the Lithuanians became under Soviet domination. Because people like you and me probably think this way, that it's not enough to resist just one regime and say, well, all our problems were due to this one regime. It's the principles of liberty that are involved that could be violated by any regime, even one that is installed after independence. So I wonder if any of that old spirit that ultimately led to Lithuanian independence is still present now, such that at a moment like this, it might be resurrected.
It is, of course, present, hence the article, you know, and I'm only a lay person, you know, doing what I can to do. We do have resistance starting at the moment, since I wrote the article for Mises. You know, we have a trade union speaking against restrictions. We have a wonderful speech of chairman of Lithuanian Bar Association, in which he utterly condemned the attempts of the current Lithuanian government to restrict citizen rights. And we do have, as of today, a health law institute established, which actually today gave a press conference, which is going to be investigating the matters of COVID pandemic management. And such institute is connecting top-notch and well-known medical professionals of Lithuania and the lawyers. So the spirit is there. Talking about society, it is split at the moment, and it is split very badly. I am comparing here with the UK where I live, and what is happening in Lithuania is unbelievable and beyond disgust, I would say. And yet I see the reason for that. I think through the fear and linguistic programming, the segregation of the society has already been achieved. So I don't want to call people vaxxers, anti-vaxxers. I would call, in this context, conscious and obedient part of the society. And so the government is responsible for fueling that segregation up further and further. And all of us, we see the discussions and disputes and debates about the vaccine, about the human rights and all what COVID pandemic encompasses. But I have never, ever seen such repulsive, insulting and incorrect wording, which obedient part of Lithuanian society uses against the conscious part of the society. You know, to me, it almost to the point of no return.
It sounds in some ways like American society, really, because we have, more than many countries, we have people who are unhappy about the COVID restrictions, and in particular about what's being done to badger people about vaccines by taking away so much of what brings people joy or even gives them a livelihood or allows them to function as ordinary members of society, all these things being taken. There are a lot of people who are resisting that. I've been told that there are countries where there is basically no resistance. I've been told that in the Philippines, in Malaysia, there's no resistance. In Australia, there's a growing resistance, but still small. Canada, still small. But there is definitely this division of society. And I like your distinction between not so much vaxxed and anti-vax, but obedient. It's the obedient sector of society versus, let's say, the more skeptical one.
Absolutely. And getting back to the context of the Soviet times, you know, there were always those obedient who joined Communist Party and then used the fruits of that obedience, and those who almost remained kind of outcasts. You know, I remember my childhood. I can only reflect on it now, but I was a very lonely child because I kept wondering why nobody let the children to come and visit me, you know, or come and play into our house. It's just because of my family connections, or rather being pitched as a political prisoners, you know.
Let's talk about the details now of exactly what's happening in Lithuania, or what's being proposed. Maybe you can describe what's going on.
I have to be very careful here because I gather information from, of course, from the group of like-minded and now actively looking at the Lithuanian mainstream and alternative media. But in my understanding, the government started talking about or expressed the idea about possible restrictions of a conscious part or non-vaccinated part of Lithuanian society on the 28th of July. And it has developed into the special parliament session, which was held on the 10th of August. So, you know, it's in less than 2 weeks where those resolutions were expected to be passed by the government. And by that, overtaking or going past the parliament and the constitution. You know, so this is very first thing to be questioned. Government cannot just, you know, pass a resolution which contradicts constitution of the country. And, you know, starting from the most important ones, cascading the right to the employers or permission to the employers to restrict or to dismiss employee who is not vaccinated. And mainly actually restricting from work. In the document, it is said that the employer has to keep an employee away from work without paying the remuneration, the salary. Now, we're talking here about the country where average salary is, 1,500 euros. You know, it is, we are one of the poorest by those numbers in the European Union. Only Romania, Bulgaria has lower monthly salaries, you know, and it does not assure the dignity of life, you know, and for someone to be restricted from work without dismissal, meaning, you know, you're hanging about in a limbo land, you're not employed, you're not dismissed, you're just not getting paid. That would be an absolute tragedy. Secondly, the restriction to get the medical services, unless those are cases of emergency.
So you cannot go to the doctor?
Yeah.
Or are they proposing this, or has it been implemented?
They were proposing this throughout the period from 28th of July to the 10th of August. And okay, they had to back down on some of them because of the massive protest on the 10th of August, which happened, and because of the kind of movement which is happening now and louder voices appearing, not only in the society, but in the professional institutions. So that was planned restriction of the entry into the medical institutions, restriction in using public transport, which the government decided to back down purely on administrative basis. It would be very difficult to enforce, you know, the checks of the vaccination status of, you know, for hundreds of people getting in and out of the public transport. They have retained this for the intercity public transport. So if one would want to travel from the capital to another town, they would have to have vaccine passport or the PCR checks. The restrictions were supposed to be applied in the schools and the universities and the libraries and the mass events and in the shops with bigger area than 1,500 square meters. Also in any service which would require longer than a 15-minute contact between the service provider and the customer.
Can I just ask before we continue, how severe has the virus been in Lithuania?
From my point of view, not severe. Not severe at all. And, you know, statistics, I like that word, statistics pliable, you know, and it is always presented in a way that a presenter wants them to appear. I am surprised that nobody calculated, and I've addressed this issue to one parliament member of Lithuania, nobody calculates the spread. I mean, geographical spread in time. And by geographical spread, I mean administrative units or settlements, whichever way we choose. I know in the UK, administrative unit means town, city, parish, village, you know. So I'm going to keep calling administrative unit in Lithuania. So we have about 20,000 of them, starting from the capital, you know, going to the smallest village or the church town. So we have roughly 4,500 deaths per 20,000. That means one death per five administrative units per entire number of days of the pandemic, meaning from the 28th of February 2020 until now. You know, this is laughable. We also have roughly 300,000 cases per 20,000 administrative units. That means 14 per one administrative unit per entire time of pandemic. So, you know, this is not how government presents to the society that we have a highest number of the cases in Europe. You know, Denmark with a very similar numbers is actually removing all restrictions from the 10th of September, all COVID restrictions. You know, Lithuanian government is introducing repressive methods of restricting citizen rights. You know, I see almost criminal influence of mainstream media, most of mainstream media, you know, which is aligned with the government instead of being transparent and diligent and questioning, you know, which would be a sign of democracy and which it isn't in Lithuania.
But it doesn't seem to be anywhere, honestly. Where can we think of a place where it is?
Well, it doesn't. I know some of the problems that we discuss are common at the moment, but...
But it's discouraging to me. I guess I thought there was a chance that there were maybe some places in Eastern Europe where there might be some honest voices out there, and it's very, very hard to find. I mean, even I look in the UK, the UK has a ton of problems. I still feel like they have a 10 to 15% better media than we do, because when I read The Telegraph, I get a lot more information than I'm getting in the New York Times. But overall, if there's a big protest in Britain, it is portrayed in the most negative light possible, with a strong bias against resistance to what's been happening. So you described a protest on August the 10th. So here we are recording the very end of August. The protest, I mean, what kind of effects has it had? Where do things stand? Is Lithuania in a limbo? What direction are things moving in? You said, by the way, in your article that just under 25% of Lithuanians say they trust the mainstream media there. Well, that's all well and good. But on the other hand, if you have some of the lowest salaries in the European Union, maybe you could be pressured into just dropping your resistance and taking the vaccine. You know, so what do you think is going to happen? What's going on this moment?
Well, I don't think people would just drop their consciousness and take vaccine, even if they would have, you know, their salaries increased. I don't see these two being connected at all.
Well, now, wait a minute. If you're absolutely desperate, I think a lot of people would do a lot of crazy things if they were absolutely at the verge of desperation.
I believe that a part of people who are still taking vaccine are on the verge of desperation. Those who believed that vaccine is going to be panacea took it already. And I think now when the goalposts are shifting, they kind of feel misled and lied to. And, you know, perhaps this is why they're so angry, because it's not my words. I think it's a Mark Twain who said that, you know, it's very easy to, it's easier to fool someone than to make them admit that they have been fooled.
Yes.
And I think this is what's happening, and this is why those obedient ones are so angry, because really what we have at the moment in Lithuania is we have two groups, vaccinated, non-vaccinated group, which is pretty big. When I wrote the article, it was 48%, you know, so we can't even call it a minority. And it is sufficient information at the moment coming from WHO and healthcare systems around the world that both groups are equal carriers. Both groups can equally contract the illness, carry and pass it. So, you know, in that sense, they both are danger to the society, which one of the European member of the EU Parliament called non-vaccinated. So if both are equal danger, why one group is getting privileged, if not for obedience only, you know? And I don't believe that people who made a decision not to take vaccine would change that. I have mentioned trade unions, and I know that people are connecting. There are some businesses who actually announced that they would be serving only non-vaccinated, you know, despite the government restrictions. There is a big hope at the moment that Health Law Institute, newly formed Health Law Institute, may change the tide. There is another protest, 10,000 people expected, if not more, on the 10th of September. Again, near the parliament, we are getting lawyers involved and the public institutions, and, you know, voices are louder and louder. Whether we will succeed to change the situation, I don't know. Do we have any guarantees at all in any country of the world, you know?
Right. These are uncharted waters for sure. My theory as to how they get around this logic, because you're right that if the vaccine is not preventing transmission or if it's slowing it trivially, then obviously the system makes no sense as a so-called public health measure. So why are they doing it? I personally think in the United States, they're doing it because the ruling class right now skews heavily in favor of the Democrats. And I think they think that the unvaccinated in general are their political enemies, that the unvaccinated are Trump supporters. And this is a way to destroy their livelihoods. I mean, these are bitter, angry people who were on the outs and insulted for 4 years. Now they have a golden opportunity to take revenge in the name of public health, of course. So it looks respectable, but it's driven by the basest, most disreputable motives. I think it is simply to punish dissidents, to punish people for not obeying, and to punish people for being stupid rubes who won't listen to what they're told by their betters. I think it's punishment. In the United States, at least, given our recent political history, I think that's what's happening in this country.
It's either punishment or there is some agenda, you know, the theories of which we can find. You know, this is medical issue. And government involvement and affiliation with politics, as you say, you know, with the Democrats affiliating, you know, in the United States with the opposition, you know, and the same happening in Lithuania. The government is affiliating resistance to get vaccinated with the connections to, you know, to Kremlin, to Moscow, you know. This is a medical issue. Yes, I understand it does affect economy, but, you know, this is the medical professionals who should be advising government on the management of the pandemic. And I don't believe that management of the pandemic could be done by introducing kind of extreme situation. You know, ultimately, this is the question that each individual is asking themselves. Am I going to die? You know, this is what matters to the lay public member. Am I going to die? Shall I take vaccine or not? And the fact that there is no transparent and diligent debates between medical professionals and between scientists who promote vaccination and who are against the vaccination, and we know the names of those, the fact that such debate is absent itself is a proof that agenda is somewhere there. It is proof that the interest is utilitarian rather than humanitarian in management of the pandemic, and perhaps most likely political, if there is a pandemic at all.
Hey, folks, before we go on, it's time for me to badger you, but from a place of love, folks. This is coming from a place of love. I hope it's obvious by now I want what's best for my people. So let me tell you something. If you want to properly provide for your family, well, most people need 10 times the life insurance coverage they get through their employers. And if you have somebody, anybody, relying on your financial support, whether it's a child, an aging parent, a spouse, even a business partner, you need life insurance. And Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, it's obvious. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius work for you, not the insurance company. So you can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. And for heaven's sake, how much easier could they make it? You go to policygenius.com. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need and then compare personalized quotes to find your best price. When you're ready to apply, the Policy Genius team will handle the paperwork and scheduling for free. So head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. Well, it seems to me that if there are as many people refusenics, we may say, when it comes to the vaccine, and they're certainly not going to be bullied into it. No. If there was any chance some of them might take it, yes, you know, some may be pressured and they may not feel like they have any option. But my feeling, especially since I've already had the virus, there's no way I'm getting vaccinated. That would be ridiculous. But I'm definitely not going to be bullied into it by people from the entertainment world being condescending and vicious, or politicians trying to destroy me. Now you can forget it. If there was any chance, it's long gone. But given that there are enough people, we don't know if it's enough, but there seem to be a good number of people in Lithuania not doing it. Now that it's a collision course, because if you're really going to tell businesses you cannot cater to this large percentage of people, I don't see how they survive. And
I don't see either, and you are absolutely right. I think you can push a will of individual for only as much. You know, it is like a spring. You know, you can pull it and pull it and pull it and pull it, and there is a time when the spring springs back. You know, into the position. You cannot restrict human's conscience and will if it is there. You know, I'm not talking here about those, you know, totally obedient. But then we have a part of the society which do believe medicine and which do believe science, you know. And I had those debates with a close friends of mine. And I said, science is not equal to the scientist. We do have scientists who created nuclear power stations, and we do have scientists who created a nuclear weapon, you know. True scientists would not mind to be questioned, you know, and the true doesn't mind to be questioned. But at the moment, any debates, any questioning, any disputes are really getting suppressed.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're all doing the best we can to get the truth out there. And once this all passes, of course, it'll be too late by then, but a lot of truths will get out, because then people will be writing books. I have this idea that I'm going to write, because there's going to be no history textbook in the United States that will deal with this reasonably.
It'll be successful, as all your books are.
Oh, well, thank you. But I can be assured that every American history textbook will say, we had this pandemic, and then we had stupid people who wouldn't listen to the experts, and that's why it went on so long. But when we finally decided to wear masks and do social distancing, then it went away. That's going to be the way it goes, and I'm not going to allow that. And so my plan is, I'm going to write. I can't do it yet because it's still unfolding. I still need the context of the entire event, and we still don't know exactly where this is all going. But my plan is to give away for free the pandemic chapter, the chapter of your textbook that will actually explain what really happened. And you can just tear the chapter they're going to have right out of the book, because it won't do you any good. It'll be all lies. And you can just read my chapter, and I'll just give that away to the world. Here's the chapter your kids should be reading, and just tell them to ignore whatever's in their actual book. So that's going to be my plan.
You know, I've seen one of those memes floating on a social media. You can show the book to a sheep, but you can't make sheep to read.
That's true.
Or to understand what is read. You know, I think those science pseudo supporters or believers, you know, educated, vaccinated, they will always remain.
Yeah. Well, listen, your article, as I say, really grabbed my attention, and people should look at it. I have a feeling I'm going to be getting some comments on this episode from Lithuanians, which would be great. I would love to hear from them. But the article itself, I'll link to on our show notes page, which is tomwoods.com/1962, if you'd like to read it. And Amelia, thanks so much for the article and for your time.
Thank you very, very much.
Okay, folks, some of you have websites that I have pledged to promote for you on the program. Never fear, that is coming in the upcoming days. I am heading out the door right now. I'm going to be in Reno and Las Vegas this week, and mostly vacationing-ish, but I'll be working. You know, old Woods always has his foot on the gas here. You know, even no matter where he is, he's always doing the newsletter and doing the program. We're getting out there to get to a concert that was rescheduled a long time ago because of you know what. And I've been just waiting for somebody to say, oh, it's canceled. But the concert's tomorrow, or well, by the time you hear this, the concert's today. Apparently, it's still happening. Woohoo! I can't believe I am reduced to cheering for a simple thing that should be obviously available, but that's what I've been reduced to. So anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.